Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Brother Paxton. We're here once again in Glasgow, Virginia, at the grave of Captain John Paxton. I've made many, many segments from here before, so I won't tell you the story all over again this time. I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Very interesting scripture. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is either in you or you are reprobate. So there's several things in this passage of scripture. First of all, we find that self-examination is not only a proper thing and a good thing, but it's a necessity for the child of God. Self-examination to see whether I am in the faith. Now that sounds kind of strange, and it's not talking about you constantly doubting your salvation. That's not really what it's talking about. Now, it factors into that in several circumstances it could. But I'm talking about somebody who is a Christian, who knows they're saved, they love the Lord, they've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So how do we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith? What is the measurement that we need to measure up to in order to see, so we prove ourselves that we're in the faith? Well, the measuring rod can only be the cross of Christ, because it was on the cross of Christ where his blood was shed and redemption was purchased. So the faith that the Bible is talking about, the faith, it's more than a formula. It's more than things that you say and plug into and then get an expected result. Now, there's a part of it in there, but the faith is actually in the cross of Jesus Christ. If the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul to place this in the Word of God, then it must have bearing on those of us who have been saved a while. It has bearing on everybody who comes to Christ. Are you coming to the Christ of the cross? First of all, because there's many Jesuses being preached. There's Jesus that, you know, wants to give you money. There's Jesus that was a good Samaritan and did good. There's the Jesus that loves everybody. And all of this, many Jesuses that are being preached. But did you come, when you got saved, did you come to the Jesus of the cross? Because that's the real Jesus of the Bible. The Savior that bled and died for the whole world. Yes, he loves everybody. Yes, he's filled with mercy and compassion. And yes, he takes a stand against sin. And that's something that's desperately needed in our world today. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth. If Paul placed this in the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then we should realize how important this is to every one of us. So that's stage one, okay? Did I really get saved? Did I give my heart to the Jesus of the cross? Or do I go to church to hear self-improvement talks? Do I go to church to, I feel bad about some choices I've made in life and they're going to give me a plan to live better? I mean, there's all kinds of examples we could use or reasons why people go to church. But the reason we go to church is because we're sinners. And if we don't receive Jesus Christ, we're going to go to hell. And God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. So when it says examine yourselves whether you be in the faith and prove it to your own self, it is faith in the cross. Do you believe in the cross? And when we get past that initial stage, we use faith in our everyday lives. So what do we look to? Do we look to prophets to tell us how to live for God? Do we need a prophetic word to even get up in the morning and go to work? What is our faith in? Is our faith in some slick-haired, shiny-shoed preacher that promises you a bigger boat, a bigger house, a bigger car? Or do we keep our faith right in the cross of Christ and the Jesus of the cross, the real Jesus of the Bible, through our entire Christian walk. Now, if we have our faith in the real Jesus, then that's exactly how we prove to ourselves constantly that we are in the faith. We are in the faith. We believe God. We understand that this life, you can look around this place here and you can see the end of life for every single one of us unless Jesus comes back and raptures us. The purpose of life is to glorify Jesus Christ because of what he did for us at Calvary. Praise be to God forevermore. And so the single most important thing in the world is at stake relative to what is your faith in. Your eternal soul, ladies and gentlemen, is at stake. I'm not looking to try to make myself a better person. Yes, I want to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus. I want to love people better. I want to have more mercy and compassion. I want to pray more than I've ever prayed before. I want to know this book more than I've ever known it before. But I don't look to none of those things. My chief aim is to please Jesus Christ. And the power that it takes for me to do that comes from His Holy Spirit when my faith is in the cross. I want to say all that again because it's very important. You know, if you're saved, if you're a Christian today, first of all, you love Jesus. Secondly, you hate sin and you don't want to sin. Thirdly, you want to be the best Christian you can be. You want to read the Word. You not only want to read it, you want to memorize it. You want to know it. You want to share it with others. You want to witness your faith. You want to get people saved. Man, the joy of the Lord that you got when you gave your heart to Christ, you want everybody to have it. Amen? And you want to do the right things. You want to love people. You want to have compassion. You want to stop the road rage. That's always been something I've dealt with. And God's brought me a long ways in that area. There's still further to go. But I mean, you want to do all these things right. We want to be right. And when we don't get things right, sometimes we feel guilty and we feel shame. And none of that is from God. Conviction is from God. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts us, what does He want us to do? So let's just say you're driving down the road, you lose your temper. And not only do you say something about the way the other person's driving, but you got your wife sitting next to you and she says something to you and you shoot something back to her, hateful and mean. We don't want to do that. No, we love Jesus. So the conviction comes, and instantly we feel guilty in that sense. In that sense of conviction. So what do I do? What's the next step for me to do now that I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit? See, conviction's not a bad thing. Conviction's good. What do? I go to the cross of Christ. I go to Jesus. I say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I am sorry for my sin, and I'm asking you right now to wash me in the blood and cleanse me of that thing. Instantly when we do that, the power of the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit helps us to get over that and get better in that area. It's all a work of God. It's all a work of God in the inner man, and it's none of myself. Now, I need to put my best foot forward, and there's times the old saying, you know, count to 10. That's all fine, well, and good. But the ultimate deliverance comes through the power of the Holy Spirit by your faith being in what Jesus did for you at the cross. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, here's what the Bible says. Wherefore, the rather, brothers, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, and he had listed some things, you will never fail. So we are here now back to the doing. And the doing is possible when the faith is correct. So if we are in the faith, there are things we will do. It's a work of God on the inside of you and me. When we are in the faith, we will pray. We will read the Word. We will have the desire to do those things. We won't have to force ourselves, although at times we will. We won't feel good this morning, so I'm just going to sit down and read the Word anyway. And I don't know what I'm going to get out of it, but I'm just going to read it in obedience to the Lord. Well, what gave you that desire? The Holy Spirit. So however you trace this back, it goes back to God. It's a work of God in the inner man for all of us, and it's not of ourselves. And if you do these things, you will never fail. And the only way we can do them, the only way we can be long-suffering and temperate and good and kind and merciful and self-controlled, the only way we can is through Christ. And so that's why his death on the cross and our faith in that gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. And these things begin to be accomplished in our life. And we realize we are in the faith. Now that is the way it works with every Christian. There are no exceptions. You might think it's not working for you right now, but it is working for you right now. You just need to believe it by faith. That's the crux of the matter, the crux of the Word of God right there. Deception is one of Satan's greatest weapons, and if he can get our faith onto something else, if he can get us into idolatry of any nature, idolatry could just be you worship the way you go to church every week. You should go to church. It's wrong for you to sit home and not go to church. You should be in church, but you don't look to that as your source of victory in life and power. You go to church because the desire's there, again, put there by the Holy Spirit because your faith is in Jesus. Okay, you see the system that God has for changing our lives? And it's all his supernatural power. And by this, we can know that we are in the faith. When Paul uses the term the faith, he's not just talking about faith in general, but he's talking the very embodiment of Christianity referred to as the faith. So, in other words, you ask me, are you a Christian? Yeah, brother, I'm in the faith. That's the way Paul is using the term right here. And it answers to the statement earlier that Paul made, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ. This means the cross of Christ is the yardstick, the measuring rod, the plumb line for everything about the life of the believer. Everything is to be measured by the cross of Christ. I want you to, you can read John 1:1, John 1:14, and John 1:29. You can read 1 Corinthians 1:17 through 18 and verse 23, and also Galatians 6 and 14. The alarming thing about the modern gospel is that so oftentimes it has left out the message of the cross of Christ. It's accepted by millions of people, and they go to church and they think they're in, but if the cross is missing, then salvation is missing. If the cross is missing, sanctification is missing. And so again, my urging to you is that we have to be examining ourselves and examining the message we hear. Are we hearing the glory of God, the glory of Christ Jesus, Christ and him crucified, the power of the cross, what Jesus did for us? Or are we hearing, take these steps and be a millionaire? Or are we hearing, take these steps and everything will work out like roses, smelling like roses in your life? And we all know that that's not true. And see, the message of the cross, which is the message of the Bible, and the real Jesus of the Bible, will do you when you're up and do you when you're down. He will do you when you're living and he'll do you when you're dying. I mean, the real gospel will sustain you through hard times, and it will sustain you through good times. It's applicable in every area of life, or it's not the gospel. And I realize that's bold, but it just happens to be the truth today. If you really want to live and experience a real purpose-driven life, then you need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and allow your purpose to be birthed in you by the Holy Spirit, and then just go live. I mean, man, I've never seen a banana tree just struggling to produce bananas, amen? It just, bananas come. And it's the same for you and I as Christians. Get a purpose, but that purpose is only found in the cross. And then you begin to see the beauty of God's wonder all around you and in every area of your life. Even in your sin, you can see where God is working, and he's cleansing you, and he's changing you and transforming you. And we can't do that for ourselves. Somebody said that man can change himself. Well, if man changes himself, the world is sure in a mess. It takes the power of Christ to change us, and that comes by faith. Faith in what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. There's no other way. Whenever you look at any of these other messages closely, Satan might put a different face on a different effort, but when you get to the bottom line, if it's a Christless Christianity, if it's a crossless Christ, then you have no power. And if you have no power, you have no life at all. And if you have a life that you've devised, you will one day see it crumble. As we close, let me tell you this. Every believer has got to do exactly what the Apostle Paul said in our verse that we started with. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Applying the measuring rod of the cross to your life and abandon anything else you've previously accepted. Now that's the other side of the coin. Not only do we receive Jesus and receive the cross, even as Christians in every area of our life, for our sanctification, for our victory over sin, the whole nine yards, but we also abandon everything else that we previously put our faith in. And as we begin to do that, then you're going to see tremendous transformation take place in your life. You deny all false ways. You deny yourself, which means I know that I cannot be the carpenter that constructs my life. I have to put this in the hands of Jesus, and I have to praise Him, and I have to minister unto the Lord as He performs the construction efforts for my life. And I'm going to tell you, friend, as foreign as it may sound, when you get to the end of that, you will see the image of God shining through your life, because it was there since you were created. The fall marred it, but the cross has gotten it back. And we just need to surrender to Jesus Christ and allow Him to do the work. Now I'm going to close, but before I do, let me just say this. I'm not telling you that we live in an effortless Christianity. I don't mean that we just don't pay any attention. And if I read the Bible today, that was God. Hey, praise God. If I don't read it, it's okay. There's grace. No. Grace always empowers. And grace empowers to do the right things. And it's the right thing. You know, Jesus wants us to live in this book. He wants us to live in His Word. Obviously, we have to work, we have to make a living, etc. So we can't spend every moment of every day reading the Bible. But at the same time, we can read some scriptures in the morning and meditate on them throughout the day. Same thing with prayer. God wants us to pray. This is not effortless. We're not saying that. We're saying that those things that we do cannot construct us into who we need to be without the touch of the Holy Spirit. Now, Bible reading and prayer and all these wonderful things and compassion and mercy and all of these things are forces that the Holy Spirit uses. I said that wrong. They are tools that the Holy Spirit uses, tools in the hand of God to forge your life. So that's why it's important for you to sit down today and read the Word, because God's going to speak to you. And the Lord said, I'll bring back to your remembrance everything I've spoken to you. But if you never read it, then He's got nothing to bring back to your remembrance. So I'm not saying it's effortless. I'm talking about what you're trusting in for your power and your victory has to be the cross of Calvary. And then when you sit down and read the Word, you'll be surprised what the Holy Spirit's going to show you from your time in the Word of Almighty God. So we don't live an effortless Christian life. We work very diligently. The Bible says labor to enter in. But we have to understand what that means and how do we do that. We labor by constantly saying, Lord, I want your will. Lord, I want you to show me your plan, your way. Lord, give me the hunger. Give me the desire for the things of the Spirit. Give me a desire for your word. And even though I don't feel like it right now, I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to read some verses, and I'm believing you, God, because of what Jesus did at the cross. I just know you want me to have a revelation of it. And so I'm believing you to reveal what I'm reading to me. and apply it to my heart so that I can apply it to my life on a daily basis. That's how this thing works. It all instigates with God all the way through, and we are obedient. So when we hear something, when we read something in the scripture, we set out to obey it. And if our faith is in the cross of Christ and what Jesus did for us there, obedience will be the result. So it's not effortless, but it is Spirit-inspired. And that's what I want to leave you with for this telecast today. It's not effortless. It's not that you and I just don't have to do anything. It's just grace, grace, grace. That message is out there today, but it's not right. But it is Spirit-inspired. We obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, but He's only going to prompt us if our faith is in what Jesus did for us rather than what we try to do for Jesus. And that's the best way at this time that I know how to say it. So I thank you for tuning in this week. It's been a great telecast here in Glasgow, Virginia, at the tomb of John Paxton. He was a Revolutionary War soldier with General Washington. He was at Valley Forge. His wife, Phoebe Alexander, I told you I wasn't going to tell you the story, but I'm going to do it anyway, rode from here all the way to Valley Forge on horseback to take him food and clothing. These are two American heroes in my family, and I am thrilled to be here for yet another segment of the telecast. From Glasgow, Virginia, this is Evangelist Len Paxton saying, go with God, and He will go with you. Bless you now.